I'm Angela Weiser, the host of Automate This podcast. In this episode, I will be speaking with three of JBT's automated systems subject matter experts in safety and technology. We will be discussing safety best practices for a newly installed AGV system, key distinctions between the safety of the AGV itself versus the AGV's operating space. We will also cover changes that may affect the AGV's behavior, and lastly, the relationship between cost and safety and how to balance the two. I want to welcome Eric Steffi, who is an electrical engineer, software developer, and product safety specialist with 29 years of experience, along with Dave Rabinovic, who is a systems engineering manager with 23 years of experience in AGV industry and 27 years of experience in manufacturing. And also with me today is Patrick Cullington, who is a systems and integration engineer with 4 years of experience with AGV systems. The main focus of this podcast is on the unique opportunities for continued safety improvements on the fleet of AGVs as your factory or warehouse changes over time. But first, let's find out what you can expect when the AGVs are initially commissioned. Thank you all for joining me today.
Thanks a lot for having us, Angela. It's really a pleasure to talk to you on this topic.
Yeah, I look forward to going through all of these items with you.
Yeah, thanks, Angela. It's great to be here.
Great. All right. So for someone who might be unfamiliar with AGVs, what can a potential user expect when it comes to safety best practices for a newly installed AGV system?
Yeah. So Angela, I've been in this industry, as you said, for about 23 years, and things have changed a lot. But obviously, protecting the vehicle and pedestrians while we're traveling around through a company's facility is the number one priority. And today we use laser bumpers that are highly adaptive. They can view around the vehicle space 360 degrees, and they're adaptable based on the speed that we're traveling or direction that we're going to head. We can make them longer if we're driving faster or shorter if we're driving slower. So this is a big improvement from when I started 20-some years ago, and we used mechanical bumpers that actually had to hit objects in order to detect and stop.
What else typically comes standard on an AGV that contributes to its safety?
This is Eric, and as Angela said, I have an electrical engineering background. So there's a lot of different sensors, devices, technologies that are used in the AGV design to improve the safety. We've got emergency stop buttons, LED lights that act as status indicator and turn signals, audible horns, of course, to alert personnel in the area. There's blue shine down lights for increased visibility, and you know, the list of electronics and sensors and so on just goes on and on.
The safety devices cover the vehicle, but how will the AGVs interface safely with the specific system?
Yeah, that's a great question. In addition to making the AGV safe by design, it's really important to keep in mind that safety needs to be considered when designing the overall system. So at JBT, we offer a project-specific risk assessment in order to identify any potential hazards that may be present due to the operations that are going to be performed by the AGVs. Also, perhaps other hazards that may be present due to the details of the application, the facility layout, interaction with human operators, environmental conditions, et cetera.
I imagine loads can vary from each customer to another. How do you handle that?
Yeah, they sure do, Angela. I mean, as part of the risk assessment, we consider not just the vehicle, but the load that we're carrying. Sometimes they're wider than the vehicle itself. And as we travel through the facility, we got to consider how we're going to protect people from the passing vehicle and its load. So the risk assessment is basically our foundation for evaluating the load as it travels through the facility.
Okay, so that covers safety for handling loads, but what about the tight areas where space is limited and the vehicle needs to travel close to a fixed object in the facility, like a building column or a machine?
Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, it's a common discussion point in AGV systems, especially where they don't have any automation already. Manual forklift drivers are very accustomed to squeezing in and out of tight areas quickly. They're trained to operate in that environment. The safety standards for AGVs, however, do have some minimum space requirements. And if, you know, if you can't meet those spaces, then you have to do special things to make sure everything is still acceptable. So these special requirements do require you to review everything carefully on every project because each building's different, each facility is different. So you got different equipment, different places. Sometimes you have more or less room to get the AGVs in and out. So yeah, it's definitely something that has to be reviewed.
Yeah, that's interesting. What are some of the things that have to be different for an AGV system? Once you identified a tight spot, what do you do about it?
Yeah, like Eric mentioned, the safety standards require visual and or audible warnings, also marking the floors and adding signage and even sometimes slowing down the AGVs where there's areas of inadequate clearance. There are also times when the normal safety bumpers that we might use actually need to be adjusted for the tight spaces. So this is something that's discussed during the risk assessment and the specific load handling evaluation. All in all, it's about making sure to alert personnel of AGV presence and for the personnel to be trained to know what areas to avoid because that's where the AGVs are operating.
But what type of training should be provided to the operators who work around the AGVs?
That's a great question. I mean, we offer different types of training for operators and technicians, but people that are in the area of the vehicle that might not be technicians repairing them still need to understand how the vehicles operate and work on a day-to-day basis. So as Patrick mentioned, if we identify pinch points, they need to understand what the markings are for those pinch point locations so that they don't find themselves in those areas when the vehicles are coming by. There's still laser protection, but it's always better to be safe. So understanding the environment and how the AGV detects them and perceives its environment is very critical, as well as understanding how to stop the vehicle by using its e-stop buttons that we have on them.
Okay, so does the training end after the install or does it continue throughout the life cycle of the AGV system?
Yeah, that's a great question, Angela. The safety is definitely an ongoing part, just as it is with any industrial machinery. Of course, there's new plant warehouse workers or people in the facility that might not be familiar with AGVs, so it's definitely critical for them to get the appropriate training about the AGVs and especially the areas of inadequate clearance that Patrick mentioned. And of course, even skilled operators, you know, sometimes get too comfortable and need refresher training to avoid the tight spots where the AGVs operate.
Sounds like a lot of things to consider. I can see how keeping up with ongoing operator training would have been a major challenge in the last 2 years with the pandemic and high labor turnover. Can one of you speak to some of the key distinctions between the safety of the AGV itself versus the AGV's operating space that a listener might be responsible to maintain?
Yeah, Angela, you know, I'd say that the main distinction on the AGV versus the facility in which it's working is the fact that the AGV can't always see everything. So even with all the sensors and components that are designed and fitted on the vehicle, there are still factors in the facility and the operating space that can contribute to the overall safety of the system. And those are things that should be discussed.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. What are some of the sensors and components in the AGV that you mentioned?
Yeah, I mean, I think some of the sensors Patrick are talking about is, you know, you've got the laser bumpers. I mentioned those earlier, right, to help perceive the environment. But we also, in order to select the right bumper fields, depending on our speed and our direction, we need to integrate that with our overall system controller and encoders that sense how fast the vehicle is moving and what direction it's moving. And then we can select the appropriate bumper fields to try to detect pedestrians.
How does the AGV know what bumper field shape to use?
Yeah, like Dave mentioned, there's speed and steer to know sort of which direction the vehicle is going, but there's also the loads. AGVs do handle a wide variety of loads and material, so they need to be equipped with sensors or sometimes a suite of sensors even to monitor the status of the load on board the vehicle. Then the vehicle software will combine all that sensor information to select the correct size bumper field. Or if it's carrying, say, one pallet wide or two pallets wide, you know, the field needs to cover the load as well as the vehicle. And then, of course, anything that infringes on those fields, you know, will stop the AGV if something's in the way, or even if the load itself becomes, you know, in a different position or something, or gets removed unexpectedly from the vehicle, the AGV will stop for that too. So,
but how does the AGV know where it's going?
So AGVs are equipped with sensors to gather information from the vehicle's operating area, and it passes that information along to a navigation algorithm that runs on the vehicle. And the AGB uses that to determine its position within the system. And like Eric mentioned, the vehicle software kind of processes all that and will actually bring the vehicle to a stop if the navigation position is determined to be too far off the path.
So that explains what the AGB knows, but how about the operators? How do they know where the AGB is going?
Yeah, so much like our cars, the AGVs are equipped with turn signals. So they can inform people in the work area which direction they're about to head. We always have moving horns as well as lights that are flashing when the vehicle's in motion. This is a standard requirement. And when we're about to turn left or right, we also indicate that with a turn signal. So that is very helpful for people to understand where the vehicle is traveling.
Okay, all that makes sense. But how about the facility? What things need to be done to improve safety around the AGVs?
Well, I'm glad you asked on that one, Angela. Oftentimes people think that AGVs are totally independent of their operating environment, but it's really important to consider all the factors outside the vehicles themselves that can really impact the overall safety of the system.
Like what, for example?
I guess the first thing I would think of is pedestrian walkways. I mean, they control the flow of people and operators around the facility. So designating special walkways really helps separate pedestrian traffic and the AGVs. And obviously, like Dave mentioned, there's laser sensors or pedestrian detections. It's not just about protecting people. It's about making sure the AGVs can get the job done in the right amount of time. If there's constantly people walking back and forth, it really slows the system down. There's also mirrors and traffic lights that can be installed to help the manual fork truck drivers and the pedestrians, you know, always make sure that they're, you know, trying to stay out of the way of the AGVs so the AGVs can, you know, keep going at full speed.
Okay. And any other examples you can share?
Yeah, sure. Like we talked about with traffic lights, I think Dave mentioned about signage and warnings and markings and stuff that we would put on the floor. So those are the kind of things that can mark areas where the AGVs travel and do their operations. And then we talked about earlier the limited clearance. That's another, you know, key place that we would put signage up or recommend markings to be put on the floor. So yeah, these are things that can remind the operators or people nearby, you know, to use caution in that area because AGVs could be approaching at any time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Angela, I also like to add to what Eric is saying. You know, when we do the risk assessment, we're also trying to identify parts of the facility where caution might be needed, right? So even pieces of fixed equipment like drainage pipes that come down from the ceiling to the floor, they might need to be protected, right? So sometimes we're thinking of just the AGV and automatic, and it's very consistent, but we also have to think that somebody might recover that vehicle and move it around manually. We want to make sure the infrastructure is protected.
I think I understand the AGV part, the facility part, but are there any ongoing aspects of an AGV system that aren't immediately obvious?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Glad you brought that up, Angela. After the AGV system has been commissioned and JBT leaves the site, the system owner does have to maintain the AGVs and all the sensors that we've been talking about just to make sure that the AGV can still see and interpret its world and the environment as clearly as possible.
So they don't just take care of themselves? I thought they were totally automated.
Yeah, that's often misunderstood. Even though AGVs are automated, they still need to be maintained just like a regular forklift or a car. They operate 24/7 in most of our facilities. So really important to keep up with that maintenance in order to get the most benefit out of the equipment. People, you know, might not think of like all these sensors that use optics nowadays need to be kept dust free. And I think things like that are really critical.
Yeah, that's a good point, Dave. The all these different sensors on the AGVs, it's not just, you know, detecting people, but it's also looking for loads. And every sensor performs an important purpose, helping the AGV determine its location, facility, a floor pickup position, aligning a load on board with a load on the floor if you're doing a block stacking operation. So, yeah, all those sensors get configured and calibrated during initial commissioning, but then their functionality also has to be verified. And once that's sort of locked in and dialed in, anything that changes to that, dust collecting or sensor You know, maybe it's accidentally hit by something. You know, that can really adjust things. And over time, those sensors, you know, you might need to replace them or readjust their position, recalibrate them. So when this kind of thing needs to be done, you know, you can follow the OEM instructions for reprogramming, recalibrating, and setting up that sensor. And by doing that, you can really make sure the AGV's properly able to use its sensor feedback to do its job.
Okay, that makes more sense. So AGVs are smart, but they're still just machines, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And like Dave was saying just a minute ago, just like your car or any other machines, AGVs are still equipment that must be maintained by people according to the preventative maintenance schedule. So trained technicians are still needed to keep the vehicle and its components in good working condition. And all that's done so that the AGVs can continue seeing their world accurately and performing their job for many more years to come.
So if the AGVs will be running for many years, which, by the way, sounds great, what else might change in the quote-unquote AGVs world that people should be aware of?
Yeah, that's a great question. Because the AGVs are automated, they're great at doing the exact same thing over and over. But it can be an ongoing challenge to ensure that the AGV's world doesn't change too unexpectedly when updates or modifications are made to the facility where they're operating. You know, even changes to nearby equipment or machines or carts and other, you know, objects that the vehicles are loading or unloading need to be considered.
Sounds like you're talking about the natural ebb and flow of a modern day material handling environment.
Exactly. Yeah, when AGVs are designed for a project at the initial inception, we're considering those base set of requirements, the facility, the loads that they're going to be moving as part of our design. And as that changes over time, it might be that the sensor location needs to be adjusted, or we might need to potentially reprogram some of the sensors. So keeping in touch with JBT is important, and we can assist in, you know, making those kinds of adjustments as your environment changes or your product changes.
So that is a lot of things to keep in mind, but what else does an AGV system owner need to think about regarding the AGV's world?
I guess the first really non-obvious one that comes to mind is the frame and the wheels. You know, it's not something you think about much. Of course, you have to replace the tires on your cars, but for an AGV, that impacts the overall stability and the weight capacity. So when, for example, a new load is introduced in an already running system, if anything about that load or the pallet or the weight changes from the initial installation, you know, the AGV might behave differently when attempting to handle that load, or might not be able to handle the new load at all. So it's very important to let the AGV manufacturer know when new loads are introduced or the AGV system needs to handle something different so that the manufacturer can confirm whether any changes are needed to the AGV. Just simple things like the frame and the wheel, center of gravity, all that stuff is influenced by that, by any kind of new load that might be introduced.
Yeah, Eric, another thing too that many people don't think about right away with an AGV system is where bollards or guardrails are positioned with respect to the AGV path. So, it often happens that when the system is installed, there's intersections or allowable clearances are all set up and approved. Then, you know, maybe 3 or 5 years later, a new walkway or new guardrails get installed. But now new areas of AGV and human interaction or limited clearances may have been introduced by that addition. So this all needs to be reviewed with the AGV manufacturer just to make sure that everything still adheres to the expected requirements for safety.
Yeah, it's really important that you brought that up, Patrick, because, you know, addition of bollards or rails, you know, can introduce new pinch points, as you're hinting at, and identifying that is really important. So one of the things that we encourage our customers to do is when they are modifying their environment, whether it's adding new equipment, even if we're not interfacing with that equipment, but we're just driving by it, to consider the path of the AGV as part of that change in their environment, right? And make sure that their risk assessment is reviewed to make sure no new hazards have been introduced.
So other than what you all have just mentioned, do environmental changes such as dust or temperature affect the AGV system?
Oh, definitely, Angela. As an electrical engineer, you know, that's one of the things we're looking at on every component is the specs. You know, what's the temperature range? What's the humidity range? You know, where can we use this sensor effectively or where shouldn't we use it? There is a lot of work that goes into making sure that the sensors are selected properly for the operating environment. So environmental conditions in the facility, they definitely can have an impact. So changes at the site, like the amount of direct sunlight hitting a sensor or dust collecting on it, like we talked about before, or even debris on the floor. In addition to, you know, fog can settle in if there's temperature gradients and high humidity. You can also get warm and cold and transitions that, where the AGV has to drive through it, perhaps, and that might affect the sensors. Or even, this is one that often gets missed, you know, highly reflective surfaces nearby where the AGVs are operating. It could be on products, could be on pipes. Even stretch wrap can do it, where AGV sensors can be tricked by seeing these things in the environment that it's not expecting. So, of course, every effort is made to sort all this out during the commissioning of a system, but site conditions do vary greatly depending on the season of the year, what products are being handled, just general housekeeping, et cetera. So, yeah, it's really important to realize the potential impact of this kind of environmental sort of inside the building weather conditions, on the AGV's operations. So it's definitely a good idea to keep the manufacturer of the AGVs notified when you've got some sort of environmental factor changing inside the facility.
Yeah, Eric, I mean, one of the things I'm thinking of as you mentioned all those things is, you know, even the floor conditions, right, which are, we might not think of them as the environment, right? But they can develop cracks over time where you have the expansion joints, right? So, and these are things that you don't necessarily need to get the AGV vendor involved with, right? But as part of the regular maintenance of the facility, identifying where the cracks are starting to form is important, right? And this can obviously lengthen the longevity of all the equipment that is operating inside this facility. To minimize shocks and impact as vehicles are driving over them.
Yeah, great points all about the environment. But something else on a slightly different topic that's affected me at sites in the past is training of new operators. So especially in the last few years with companies experiencing high turnover in some maintenance or technician roles, this can often lead to having minimally trained people working on or around the AGVs. Plus, when the AGV software is updated to add or change functionality for facility or system changes, there can also be the need for additional training of operators on the AGV's operation, and not just for the AGV itself, but also for general safety best practices that should be followed when interacting with large complex machines.
All of this sounds really expensive. AGVs are labor-saving equipment that companies install to save money, right? So can one of you please close out our podcast today with an explanation of the relationship between cost and safety, and how do you balance the two?
That's a great question, Angela. I mean, we're always worried about cost, right, in this industry as well as many others. But safety-rated components, yes, they cost a little bit more, but the reality is that's only a small piece of the puzzle. It's an upfront cost that we invest into our projects and our equipment to equip them with the best possible components to, you know, work safely within the environment. But it pays dividends over the lifetime of the equipment if you don't have downtime or near misses or things of that nature. Doing a good risk assessment upfront can help us to identify ways where we can reroute traffic so that AGVs and humans are not always working in the same areas, right? Or if we can't reroute traffic, maybe we can identify good signage or good warning devices that can be installed. And, lastly, we can also make recommendations on what kinds of materials or information needs to be included in the operator training, right, as a result of that environment. So I think it is an effort. It is a commitment that we have to make with our customers at the beginning of a project. But I think it, in the long run, it really pays for itself. And as we discussed throughout our talk today, the environment changes, right? These systems can run up to 20 years. We have some that are even older than that. And in that time, the loads change, the environment changes, the people change, right? And so keeping up with safety is really important.
Well, you have certainly provided some great information for anyone interested in learning about AGV systems or anyone who recently installed AGV systems in their facility. I want to thank all of you for joining me today. I hope our listeners found this information valuable and gained some insight on how to continue safety with AGV systems after they are installed by the manufacturers.
Yeah, thanks, Angela. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, thanks so much. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Yep, thanks, Angela.
If you want to get in touch with one of JBT's AGV experts, the contact information is listed in the podcast description below. Thank you for listening to this episode of Automate This Podcast.